Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Coffee mug. And you're probably wondering, well, why in the world do I need to see that? It doesn't really look remarkable, but I like the way it fits in my hand. I like the thickness of the wall. And it's not real big. I know sometimes we feel like we got to have a big, old, huge, humongous coffee cup, but typically if you've got that big, old, huge coffee cup filled with coffee, you may have to throw it in the microwave a few times to heat it up because it gets too cold, because there's no way you can drink it fast enough, where this keeps it nice and warm while I'm drinking it. But there's something else about this particular mug that really speaks to me, because I have another one at home just like this. I should say we have one. Actually, these were given to Carmen, but I stole this one. This one has a little chip right here on it. But yet, if this cup is clean, this is my go-to cup. When I get that morning cup of coffee, this is the one I grab. And Carmen knows it because if she happens to get a cup out for me, if this cup's available, this is the one that comes down out of the cabinet. And I think over time, part of it is just because I like the cup in particular. But with this one, because of the chip, it's flawed. It's a flawed cup. And it's a great reminder for me in that I have flaws, yet God loves me and God still uses me. Just like I use this coffee cup. Just because it's got a little chip doesn't mean I push it off in the back of the cabinet. I still grab it. I still use it. God has a purpose for me. Just as He has a purpose for each and every one of us, even though we all have our own flaws. I know that I've mentioned this before. I am very OCD when it comes to certain things, particularly locking doors. And I know it drives Carmen crazy. But she'll still say she loves me. Even though I think sometimes it becomes a challenge when I do that. And I was explaining this to someone the other day. I don't know if we have any. I know where's Zach at. I know Zach likes to golf, but if we have any other people that like to golf in that. If you've ever watched a golf tournament, when a golfer's lining up his shot, he has a particular routine that he goes through. And if anything disrupts that routine, he has to step back and start it all over again. I'm kind of like that with locking doors. I have a certain routine that I go through. And if anything interrupts me, I go back through the whole routine again. So I can understand how that can be a little annoying. But that's how I'm made. That's who I am. At the beginning of the year, I had an opportunity, and I know many of you know about, to go back to my old church to hear a message from my former pastor, who God delivered in an amazing way through an illness. And while we were there, the kids were with us, and they opened with a worship song, a more contemporary worship song. And then they went into some hymns. And Eli looks at me and goes, "What's that song? I don't know that one." I said, "That's a hymn." So I introduced him to the Baptist hymn book. And he did a great job following through. One of the hymns, and I know Hickman's, I know you all will know it and that. So in the Baptist church, you know, we used to have what we called invitation at the end of service, where we would sing a song and people would be invited to come and accept Christ. Other churches call it altar calls. You know, there's various names for it. So we used to have invitations. And one of the famous invitation songs was "Just As I Am." You know, "Just as I am without one plea." Don't worry, you won't hear that whole song. God accepted us just as I was, just as I am. And that's what that song was trying to let people know. You can come to him, come into relationship with him just as you are. So we're going to look into that a little bit deeper today. And we're going to do that through a couple video clips. Video clips that have actually got me in a little bit of trouble with some of my brothers in arms. You see, we like to tease Pastor Barry. He talks a lot about Hallmark movies. I don't like Hallmark movies. One of the things when my wife Carmen, when her best friend Carmen moved to Florida, I lost an ally because Carmen would take the hit for me on all the chick flicks. I didn't have to do that. Now she's in Florida. A little more responsibility on me. But that's not to say that I can't watch some movies that, you know, that may be geared a little more towards the female audience. So I had a movie that Carmen and I have watched with the kids. It was a great movie. We all enjoyed it as a family, called Mom's Night Out. And I know you've heard me talk about it before. So I know there were a couple clips on there I wanted to watch. One I knew was readily available on YouTube, that I could pull that, no problem. The other one I was struggling with finding. So I put it out on our SCRC Brothers Facebook page. Hey, I know it's going to be kind of weird, but anybody got a copy of the movie Mom's Night Out? You will probably have to ask your wives, I know. Tony DeFranco threatened to take my man card away for even raising that subject. But that's okay. I'm flexible. We can be flexible in this. And then right after I did that, after I exposed myself to that, I found the clip. So I didn't need it after all. I could have saved myself a lot of embarrassment. But in the movie, if you've not seen it before, there's a young mom. She's a stay-at-home mom, Allison. She's got three kids. And she also wants to kind of have a career as a blogger, but things just go crazy for her because of all the responsibilities she has with taking care of her children. So a suggestion was raised, hey, you need a night out. You need a night away. So she and a couple of her friends from church decide they're going to have a night out. And the night pretty much goes off the rails from the beginning. Starting with the fact that there's a lot of confusion over their restaurant reservation. There's no reservation for them where they wanted to go eat. And things just kind of go crazy from there. And then it goes into her sister-in-law's got a baby, and the baby's lost. They don't know where the baby is. So there's hilarious hijinks that ensue during this. And it gets to the point now where Allison's sitting in a police station with a man named Bones, who's a biker and runs a tattoo parlor. Quite a combination there. Her other friends, as you're going to see in just a moment, they're actually in jail right now. That's how far things have went off the track. And she's just really struggling with how they got to this place. So, Teresa, if you go ahead and run that first video.
Bridget happened, so then I thought I could fix that too, and it's...
All my friends are in jail, Bones.
Well, I know how that feels.
I'm a failure. I have failed again. That's all I do. I had a plan. I was going to help myself and help my friends unplug and have fun. And then Bridget happened, so then I thought I could fix that too. And instead... I can't. I can't get in front of it. No matter how hard I try, no matter how much I give, I'm just... not enough.
For who?
What?
Not enough for who?
I mean, Sean, the kids, my mother, God, everybody, I don't know.
You. Not enough for you. I was raised in church. This might surprise you, but I have since drifted from the faith.
Shocker.
My mama worked 3 jobs. I never met my daddy. I had to get up early and walk to school, but I'd wait up for her coming home from the diner. I'd wait up every night because she'd come home and she'd put me to bed and she'd tell me something. She'd tell me the same thing every night. He loves you, Charles. No matter who you are, no matter what you do or how far you run, Jesus will always be loving you with his arms open wide just for being you. And I'd smile and go off to sleep. You know, I saw something on Pinterest the other day. It was an eagle just caring for its young. It's a beautiful thing to watch one of God's creations just doing what he made it to do. Just being an eagle. And that's enough. Y'all spend so much time beating yourselves up. Must be exhausting. Let me tell you something, girl. I doubt the good Lord made a mistake giving your kiddos the mama he did. So you just be you. He'll take care of the rest.
Profound quotes.
What? What I say? Something good?
Pinterest, really?
Yeah, I don't go on it much anymore. Everybody's tats are better than mine.
So there's a lot in that scene to unpack there. When we start looking at ourselves, starting with Allison right away, seeing herself as a failure. And she said all her hard work was down the drain because she had a plan. How many times do we do that? And we've talked about that before, where we just try to get in front. We try to take the lead. We think we know what's best. And where does that typically get us? It gets us right where she was, right there. She tried to make something happen, and it went wrong. And then she starts questioning herself. She goes, I'm not enough. And when Bones challenges her on that, as she starts listing out all these other people that she thinks she's not enough for, he really brings her to reality of she's trying to measure herself up to a certain standard. She's not measuring up to the standard that she has for herself. And he reminds her about what it's like to be what God made her to be. God made us, each and every one of us, for a purpose and for a certain thing. And if we allow him to work in our lives, he'll take care of the rest. And as we go through this, we're going to have several passages of Scripture. And if you don't want to, you know, we'll have them on the screen, and sometimes it might get hard going back and forth, but if you want to make sure you write them down. Some of them are very well known, including this one. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Right there, a reminder. Trust in God with all, and the word all is there, all your heart. Not just a part of your heart, with all your heart. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. God's our GPS. He'll tell us where we need to go if we allow him to take the reins. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. So the kids have, and now they got Carmen into it now, been watching The Masked Singer. I don't know if any of you have been watching that show. I hear some chuckles out there. Where you have these celebrities from all walks of life who are dressed in costume and are singing. And then they give clues and they're trying to guess who it is. And then you have this panel of judges who are giving their thoughts on who they think is behind the mask. Then each week they unmask another celebrity. So a few weeks ago, one of the judges, he got it right. He guessed the person underneath the mask. And he was very proud of himself. So proud that the next week he made sure he was the last one to show up on the stage, and he had a little crown. And he kept going back to, hey, I got that right last week. Very proud of himself. He didn't get it right the next week, though. He had to give his crown up. But that's the way we are. Sometimes we get a little caught up in thinking we know what's best. And it says in verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Noted pastor and theologian A.W. Tozer once wrote, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give order and interfering with God's work within us. So pretty much the anti of Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. We have a hard time stopping where we should be in charge and putting God in charge. We don't know, we don't come to the end of ourselves. So we're still trying to give order, interfering with God's work. So that was the first problem Allison was facing here in this. She thought she had this great plan, fell apart, and now she's down because of it. So the next part out of the video is Bones. A great story. I love his story about his mom. Hard-working mom, taking care of her son, but always making sure she came in and tucked him in at night and saying that Jesus will always be loving you with his arms open wide. You know, when I was thinking about that, I went back to a song from, I think, back in the 90s, Benny Hester, When God Ran, saying how God would run to us. He doesn't wait for us to come. He'll run to us and receive us with open arms. And Bones is reminding Allison, because that's what his mother taught him, that Jesus will always love you with open arms. So the next passage I want to look at is in Psalm 136. I talked a moment ago about hymn books. So how many of you remember responsive readings in the hymn books? Anybody do any responsive readings? Got a couple there. Where the person would read a part and then the congregation would read the next part. So this whole chapter is set up as kind of a responsive reading. We're just going to look at the last few verses. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read the first part, and if you see, the second part is italicized, and I would like for you to say that. Psalm 136, verse 23. He remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. He gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Just really powerful message for us to take away, knowing that God is always there with his arms open wide with his love. And then we went to the Pinterest video. Allison was a little taken back by Bone saying he had been on Pinterest. And he talks about an eagle. And what's interesting about that, if you've not seen the movie, is one of her friends had actually told her about that same video earlier to try to encourage her. And now he's bringing up this video about this eagle. And he says it's an amazing sight when you do what God called you to do. Great things happen when you do what God calls you to do. In men's group Tuesday night, we watched a video clip from the movie Miracle. And if you're not familiar with the story, I'm sure many of you are. And actually, this Thursday is the anniversary. There'll be the 39th anniversary of the U.S. hockey team beating the Soviets in the 1980 Olympics. And going into that, they were heavy underdogs. And one of the things when Coach Herb Brooks built his team was he wanted to build it as a team. There was some resistance from the people that hired him on to coach because they said, well, NHL All-Stars can't beat the Soviets. How are you going to beat them? And he says, because that's exactly what they are. They're All-Stars. They're not a team. So he was looking as he's selecting his team, he said he's not looking for the best players. He's looking for the right players, people to fill a role on that team. And it's one of those moments that it's still when I see Michael Ruzioni score that goal to put them ahead, and then now Michael's doing that countdown, I'm actually getting a little shiver right now just talking about it. It's kind of like David Freeze in Game 6 or whatever. You just get goosebumps every time you see it. It was considered the greatest sports moment of the 20th century, and it just had a lot of, not just beyond sports, it had a lot of historical perspective worldwide. But in his speech that he gave them before they went out to play the Soviets, one thing he said is, tonight you are the greatest hockey team in the world. And then later on he says, you were born to be hockey players. And they went out and they proved it. And they won the game that people thought they could not win. And a huge celebration. I mean, even to this day, it just carries so much weight because they did what they were trained to do. In the Bible, there's a lot of different people, a lot of different characters who had a lot to do with, you know, and they've had their ways where they fell and then they were used. And the one that I thought about was Peter. Because Jesus told Peter, you are the rock. You're going to be the foundation. Peter didn't always handle that very well, though. Peter was one of those kind of headstrong. He wanted to be the top guy, top dog. He'd get a little rambunctious sometimes. But in the end, after Christ was crucified and then ascended into heaven, Peter was the one who followed what Jesus said was prepared for him. He did. He became the foundation, the rock on which the church was built. What we do today is because what Peter did, getting the church started. And it's an amazing thing when you do what God calls you to do. And then the last thing from the video, Bone says, y'all beat yourself up so much. We do. We beat ourselves up constantly. I'm very bad about that. I can't believe I did that. That was dumb. But in Isaiah 43, and this is where I got to switch to the other Bible here for a minute, because we're going to read this one out of the New American Standard. Give me just a moment here. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Don't dwell on the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Again, a great reminder, don't get hung up on the things of the past. Look towards the future. There's great things to take place. That U.S. hockey team we just talked about a moment ago, sometimes people forget because they get so wrapped up in that game of them beating the Soviets, was that they had to win one more game to win the gold medal. And quite conceivably, with all that had taken place, if things fell just right, if they lost that gold medal game, they could have walked out of there without a medal at all. So while it was a great achievement that they beat the Soviets, 2 days later they had to get focused again for another game. So we can't get caught up in the things of the past or things that we've done. We can learn, we've talked about this many times before, we can learn from things that we've done in the past, but we cannot dwell on them and beat ourselves up on them. And why is that? Because we are God's masterpiece. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, this is a passage you're probably fairly familiar with, verses 8 through 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So there again, don't be thinking about the past. None of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There's a song by Hillsong Worship called So Will I. It's also known as the 100 billion times song. And there's a great line in there that says, as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Again, we're putting everything behind us. And just like you said in Ephesians here, don't take credit. Salvation is not a reward for good that's been done in the past. It's just by God's grace that it's available to us. So this brings us to the second video. So Allison, her friends are out of prison now. Things are all going good. They found the baby that was missing, her sister-in-law's baby. And she's ready to start writing a blog, which is a dream that she's always had. And what I like is as you watch this video, there's this part in there where you see children's artwork framed. If you've not seen the movie, that is not pictures that her children have drawn on paper and then that she framed them. Those are pictures that her kids drew on the wall. And so she just put a frame around them. But let's see how things go for Allison now that she's kind of put on the right path here.
Life needs to change for me to be happy. That would be false. In truth, my life hasn't changed much at all. I have.
Breakfast in bed.
Wow, thank you. True, I'm not smiling all the time, but I am smiling more. Smiling at the little things, at my crazy, stressful, over-the-top, kind of beautiful life. False. I am a failure. Yes. Very, very false. I'm not perfect. I make plenty of mistakes, but I am right where God wants me to be, and He has given me everything I need to be a moth. There's so much more. I'm a mess, but I'm a beautiful mess. I'm His masterpiece. And that's enough. We must atone before
we turn to. I think that's something we all can say. We are a mess, but we're a beautiful mess because we are God's masterpiece. One final passage of scripture. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Isn't it great that when God made us, He didn't just have a mold, a stamp that He just stamped us out of? We're all complex. We're all different. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. See, God was around the whole time as we were being brought into being. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Isn't it great to know that God's always thinking about us? Each and every one of us. He doesn't just focus on one. He's thinking about each and every one of us constantly. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. God is never leaving us. Sometimes we try to walk away from Him. But God's always right there with us, never leaving our side. Father, we thank you for the love, the grace you show us. The wonderful work that is each and every one of us. We are not all the same. And that's the way you've made us, because we each have a part. And I pray today, Lord, that with this message that you've given us, that we allow you to lead us on the path that you have for us to do your work. And if there's someone here today who maybe has not received you as Lord and Savior, I hope that this word has touched their hearts to see that you do love them. Even though they've went through some struggles in their life, you don't push them aside. You receive them with open arms and that you love them. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.